Please take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. We'll be reading verses 18 to 27, but our sermon focus will be on verses 25 to 27. Hear the word of the Lord, written to you, His people. Verse 18, Hebrews chapter 12. For you have not come to the mountain with fire, sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it spoken to them any more, for they could not. And if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Let's go to the word, to go to the Lord in prayer. Father God in heaven, we do thank you again for your word that you have given to us, preserved for us, that we may not grope about in darkness and wonder what it is you have willed, what it is you have done, what it is you have decreed and call us to obey and to know about you. And Father, we pray that you would speak to us through the reading and through the preaching of your word, through the hearing of it. Lord, help us not to not be good listeners. Help us to hear. Help us, as we have just read, not to refuse you who speak to us, even this very moment. Speak to us, Lord, we pray, and cause us to hear and obey. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. There are things that happen in our lives, occasionally, that stop us in our tracks. Things that really, really get our attention. And this can be both physically, like an illness or a death, and spiritually also, things that change how we see things and how we actually live our lives. They are so life-altering. They do shake us up. These things do happen. And to shake heaven and earth. And this shaking heaven and earth was and is being fulfilled in Jesus Christ, who has changed the world. God shook heaven and earth when He sent His Son from heaven to earth. At the announcement of things that happened, now they shook heaven and earth. At the announcement, simply the announcement of His birth, He shook rulers of great nations and humble shepherds. Was used to point to His place of birth, which shook many people up. Voice from heaven, this is my pleased. At His transfiguration, Moses and Elijah. And God spoke again, saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him. Hear Him. In Jesus' prayer to the Father in John chapter 12, Jesus prayed, Father said, I am and will glorify it again. This was the shaking that was going on in heaven and in earth. God was glorifying His name through the coming of His Son, Jesus Christ. And after torn in two from top to bottom, the earth quaked, rocks, caves opened. And after Christ's resurrection, people from those graves rose up and walked amongst the city people and revealed themselves to people. Having risen from the dead and coming back and meeting with His disciples, the Lord Jesus Christ shook them to the core by His very presence. Here they were. They had seen Jesus Christ die on the cross. And now they were seeing Him alive again. Then came the Holy Spirit to God's people. The Holy Spirit was poured out upon His people, a true shaking of what normally happens. And then Christ's followers who received that Holy Spirit, who came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 17, they were accused of turning the world upside down. And they were in fact doing that. Because they were declaring there was a new king. There is a change. There is a new king. And His name is Jesus. The world has never been the same since Jesus Christ came to this earth from heaven, lived a holy, perfect life, was crucified, was raised from the dead, and was considered by God for sinners, who's now seated at the right hand of God in heaven. God was fulfilling what He said in Haggai chapter 2, and that He would draw all the nations to the desire of His Son, Jesus Christ. And so the Holy Spirit is saying to these Hebrew Christians then, as He writes this letter, and to us now, that God is shaking the world. He's shaking heaven and earth. And He is saying He is worthy of being listened to. He is worthy of being heard by you. For He is the one who shook the earth on Mount Sinai, and He is the one who is now shaking heaven and earth. He is worth listening to. And that's why the Spirit of God says, refuse not to hear Him. And this is a warning, and this warning here in verse 25 that we read is connected to what the Spirit of God just said in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24, where He said, you have come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks to you better things than the blood of Abel. And so this speaking is being connected to what we are hearing here in verses 25 to 27. We are called to listen to the blood of sprinkling, that blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which speaks to us. This is that blood whereby God has shaken heaven and earth once again. And so the Holy Spirit puts before us here in these three verses three arguments to get us to listen to the blood of Christ that speaks to us. And first we see that the Lord is speaking to us now through Christ. Secondly, in verse 26, the Lord is shaking heaven and earth now in Christ Jesus. And thirdly, the Lord is sustaining unshakable things by Christ Jesus. Things that will not be shaken. And so first, let's look then at the Lord who is speaking now through Christ in verse 25. The first thing we see here in verse 25 is that there is a command here. See that you do not refuse Him who speaks. And so the command is to listen and to hear and to obey what has been spoken through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the sprinkling of His blood. And we could first think here, as we read through this passage, that there is two speakers. There is one who spoke at Mount Sinai, and now there is a different speaker who is speaking to us today and to those Hebrew Christians of the day when this letter is written. But it is the same speaker. Two descriptions speaking of the same speaker, the Lord God. Here in Hebrew, we've already know in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, that God, who at various times and various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. This is a confirmation of what God had done in the Old Testament, how He was speaking to His people through the prophets. And that included here at Mount Sinai that's being referred to in verses 18 to 24. Then we have what is being referred to in these same words in verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 1, tells us that God has spoken to us in these last days by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom He also made the world. That is what he's referring to in verse 25, where he talks about Him who speaks from heaven. This one who is sent from heaven, God is speaking through Him, through the Lord Jesus Christ. God was speaking through other men like Moses and other prophets, but now in the He is speaking through Christ. One speaker, God the Lord, speaking in different circumstances and through different means. And so the Spirit is taking them back to Mount Sinai and reminding them of what the Lord said. And when He spoke to them, He was speaking to through a man when He spoke to them and gave them His law. And many of them refused to listen. That's what verse 25 is telling us. See that you do not refuse Him who speaks like they did. Like they did. And we'll get more into that in a moment. But the Spirit is taking them back and reminding them that God spoke to them through a prophet, through a man, and they refused to speak to Him, but they did not escape the judgment. And so how much more will you not, if you do not listen to God now as He speaks through His Son, Jesus Christ, and His shed blood? That is the lesser argument to the greater argument being made here, that if it was true then when God spoke to the people through the prophet, how much more shall you not escape His judgment if you refuse to hear what He's saying through His Son, Jesus Christ, and through His shed blood? This warning is one of many in the book of Hebrews, and I'll just take you back to one. In Hebrews chapter 2 tells us, verse 1 there, give the more earnest heed to things we have heard, speaking of Christ, let us escape if we neglect so great a salvation which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord. The Spirit of God is referring to the fact that God was speaking to them through the Lord Jesus Christ. And just like in times past, how shall they escape the judgment that comes to those who refuse to hear of Jesus Christ and His shed blood? Even Moses then was being used by God in his time to speak of Christ as one who would come, that God would put words in his mouth, in Christ's mouth, and He shall speak unto them all that I command Him, and it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Even Moses, when he spoke of Jesus, and that God would speak through Jesus. And for those who would refuse to hear Jesus, God would hold them accountable. And that's what it means when he says, I will require it of him. So Moses spoke of Jesus, and that his people would need to hear him. God said, as I referred to earlier in speaking about Jesus, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Hear Jesus. Hear what he is saying. For I have commanded him what to say, and he is saying it, and he is teaching you all that I have commanded him. Jesus affirmed this, saying, "The words that I speak are not mine, but His that sent me." Jesus said of the 70 that He sent out in Luke chapter 10, verse 16, "He who hears you hears me. He who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." The Scripture takes great effort to make the case that Jesus Christ came at the will of the Father, speaking the words and the commands of the Father. And so the Spirit of God here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25, calls upon us not to refuse to listen to this message that Jesus Christ came preaching and to His blood that speaks to us of greater things than the blood of Abel. It speaks to us of salvation. And so what is it then is that the Spirit is saying when He says, "Do not refuse to hear Him. See to it that you do not refuse Him who speaks." And who is speaking? The Lord God through His Son, Jesus Christ. What is it to reject Jesus and His blood that speaks to us? To refuse to listen to Him who speaks from heaven is to not believe in the saving work of Christ and His shed blood. It is to not believe in God's grace being necessary for you. To refuse to hear Him is to say, "I don't need that blood. I don't need that message. I don't need that work of God. This is something I can accomplish on my own or through another set of means." To refuse to hear Him who speaks is to believe that there are other ways that you can be saved from God's wrath. And this is one of the dangers that these Hebrew Christians had. The danger of turning back to the ceremonies of their fathers. That God, in fact, did put in place, but not to save them. To point them to their need for God's grace and mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would reiterate, if they did not escape God's judgment who failed to hear God speaking through the prophets, when God shook things up on Mount Sinai, if they did not escape His wrath, the argument being made here is how much more shall you not escape from His wrath if you turn away from Him who speaks from heaven? And God speaks from heaven through His Son, Jesus Christ, who left heaven to come to earth, to be a servant, to be obedient even to death on the cross, that His blood might be shed and speak to you. There is salvation in only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10, verses 28 to 9 speaks a parallel truth saying about this rejection. "Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses." Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? How much more worse punishment is reserved for those who have heard the blood of Christ speaking and who have refused it and refused to believe it and have it applied to them for the forgiveness of their sins. And so the Spirit of God here says, do not refuse Him who speaks. Do not refuse Him. Do not refuse the salvation that He comes offering to you in the Lord Jesus Christ. From here in this argument that the Spirit of God is making, He moves on to another comparison. In verse 25, we have the comparison of the argument, if they did not escape by hearing from prophets on the earth, how shall you escape when you have heard the Lord Himself speak through His Son, Jesus Christ, in His shed blood? Another comparison is made, and it is at Mount Sinai where God shook the earth, but now He not only shakes the earth, but also heaven. And this is what we see here in verse 26. him who speaks, do not refuse him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Here in verse 26, we see the Lord is shaking heaven and earth and is referring to that passage in Haggai chapter 2. And this word shakes is something that we use in our own vocabulary. Whenever something new comes along, somebody new or something new to a situation, sometimes we might even say something like, well, that is going to stir things up a little bit. And in Haggai chapter 2, that is what God was promising. That He was going to shake things up again. He was going to stir things up again, not only on earth, but also in heaven. And that is what this word shakes means, to stir up. To change, to make something different, to agitate. And the idea being put forth here is that God is making changes. That's what He's talking about here, and that's what He's talking about in Haggai chapter 2 as well. And so in verse 26, where we see, whose voice then shook the earth, it's a reference to God at Mount Sinai, speaking to and through Moses to the people. He in fact did shake the earth. The mountain quaked. The mountain shook. The people were in great fear of what was going on there. But it's not just a physical thing that was done here to the mountain. But God was also shaking the people. He was shaking the people. In other words, He was bringing a great change. It would be from this point on that the life of the people of God was changed. For they were given the law of God. And they were called then to be God's people. To be a holy people. Their life with God changed dramatically at the giving of the law. It was a high and important privilege for God to give them this law. He did not give it to all the nations of the world. He gave it to these people, and in doing so, He made them more and more aware of who He was and His holiness and who they were in their sinfulness and what it meant to be His people and for Him to be their God. They were being, when the law was given, they were being set apart for holiness. They were being called out from all the other nations to be different, to live according to this law, because this was the truths that reflected who God was. So this shaking of the world did not alter the promise of salvation. That promise was given and made in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, when Adam and Eve fell in their sin and all mankind fell with them. The first promise of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God did not change that when He gave the law. The shaking up of their lives at Mount Sinai was for a temporary establishment, a temporary administration of a temporary covenant within the covenant of grace. It included temporary promises such as the coming promised land that He would give them. It included a temporary tabernacle and temporary means of worship, like the sacrifices and the offerings. It had a temporary priesthood that was not meant to last forever. All these things were given to the people of God as temporary means of a covenant that would point them to a permanent covenant fulfilled in the blood of Christ. This is put forth here in verse 26. God's voice then, in the past at Mount Sinai, shook the earth. But now He has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. When He made that promise, it was a future promise. A promise to come and how He would shake heaven and earth. And now the Spirit of God is saying here in the book of Hebrews, that promise has come to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. God has shaken heaven and earth. So let's go back to Haggai chapter 2 for a moment and let's look there and see what God was saying to His people. in verses 6 and 7. Remember, as I mentioned to you, that in chapter 1, God was admonishing the people for having their priorities out of order, seeking to rebuild their own homes before they would rebuild God's place of worship. And now that they have repented, God says, look at what you built. Look at what you're doing. Is there anybody here that remembers what the first temple looked like? Does anybody remember its beauty and its glory? And the Lord tells them, even those who remember, even though what they have done here may look like nothing comparatively speaking, that there is coming a greater temple. There is coming a greater glory. He says, how do you see it now in comparison with it? Is this not in your eyes yet nothing? This was a rhetorical question. God was not really looking for them to answer, but to say, it is nothing, isn't it, compared to what it was. But the Lord used that moment to encourage them, to strengthen them, and saying in verse 4, yet, even though this is not anything compared to the former temple, yet now be strong. Be strong, all you people of the land, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenanted with you, speaking when he brought them out of Egypt, that covenant of the law that he made with them, so my spirit remains among you, do not fear. This conversation between the Lord and his people was meant to strengthen them in their faith in the coming Messiah, the one in which the Lord would shake heaven and earth. And so we should also be taking encouragement from this passage in the book of Hebrews. That God has done a great work. He has shaken heaven and earth. He has made great changes through the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is even more encouragement. In verses 6 and 7 of Haggai chapter 2, Haggai says, for thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, in other words, yet to come, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land, and I will shake all nations, that they shall come to the desire of all nations. And I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. Speaking there of the Lord Jesus Christ. This phrase, both heaven and earth, refers not to just a localized shaking of a mountain, and not to a just localized shaking of one nation, but the shaking of the whole world, the shaking of governments, the shaking of rulers, the shaking of nations with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the shaking of the whole world, both physical and spiritual. I've already mentioned in how many several ways God has shaken the world through Christ. In Christ's coming, God has stirred up the whole earth, the nations, to where the nations, upon hearing about Christ, will be and have been coming to the Lord. Has there ever been a shaking of this world as when Jesus came? The world, heaven and earth, has not been the same since Jesus Christ left heaven. What a shaking of heaven that had to be. And what a shaking of the earth it was. And he is still shaking up the world wherever he has preached. Just as he shook up Rome. Just as he shook up the Jews. And just as he shook up other Gentile nations when he came. Jesus is still shaking up the world wherever he is preached, wherever his name and his work is being preached to the nations, and nations are coming to him. We sometimes forget that the kingdom of God is bigger than the United States, that it's bigger than Columbia, Missouri. And we can have so much tunnel vision at times that we say, what is going on in this world? That's why it's good to have your mind and your heart and your eyes connected to news from God's church throughout the world. That's an encouraging thing, to see that God is working everywhere in all kinds of nations. I cannot say where, but at Synod we heard of a underground seminary that our denomination is working with in a country where they could not have a seminary. There are things going on in God's kingdom that we do not know about that, yes, would put, we might say, put our country to shame or the church here in America to shame, but that's not really even true because we have to recognize that God works at different times in different ways in different nations. But it is still true that the gospel is being preached here in America. And so God is still working. God is still shaking heaven and earth through the declaration of Jesus Christ. And here in this passage, we are called to hear Him, to not refuse to listen to Him. Do not refuse to hear Him who speaks from heaven through Christ's blood. The last part of Haggai chapter 2, verse 9 tells us God's his goal. Look at verse 8. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. Just speaking to the fact that He doesn't need anything from man to make this future temple greater than anything they'd ever seen. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. God is not just building a temple, but He is bringing peace through the blood of sprinkling. And that is how we have peace with God. Through this temple, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. And it is all God's doing. The gold is His and the silver is His. All the resources that are needed to make this temple more glorious than anyone previous to it, it is all His. Psalm 67 is all about the nations that we see here in Haggai 2. All about the nations knowing His salvations. We see phrases like from Psalm 67, "Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Let all the peoples, all the nations praise You, and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him." This is a work that God is doing. And it will be done. Jesus said, "I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." This glory of the Lord shall be accomplished. And the Lord is glorified when sinners are made at peace with God through the sprinkling of Christ's blood. That sinful man could be at peace with God. That sinful man whose desires are his own self and the wickedness of his heart. That sinful man's desires could be turned to be the desire towards Jesus Christ, the desire of the nations. That is a work of God. That is a work that is shaking both earth and heaven. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 tells us, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Much more than having now," verse 9, "been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." It is through this sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ that we have this peace that God talks about in Haggai chapter 2. So these words from the Holy Spirit in Hebrews chapter 12 are meant to give strength to our faith, just as they were meant to give strength to the people in Haggai's day, to keep working, for I am with you. Not for their salvation, but for God's purposes, that the desire of the nations would be brought to the world. So the question we must ask ourselves, and I say this to us as Christians, has your world been shaken by the blood of Christ? And you may say, well, I'm a Christian, sure, my life has changed. But this is not a one-time shaking or shaking that took place. Is Jesus Christ still shaking your world? Or have things calmed down to where you're not hearing the blood of sprinkling like you used to? Has your world been shaken by the blood of Christ? Now I speak to those of you who have never come to know Christ as your Savior, possibly. Do not refuse to hear Him who speaks to you through the blood of Christ. Well, as God was speaking there in Haggai, He said to them, "Be strong, for I will be with you as your covenant God." The old things of the old covenant have been shaken like things that are made, we see here in Hebrews chapter 12. The old things have been shaken as things that are made. We might think like when there's an earthquake, things shake, things are rocked, things are broken apart, things that are made. But only what God has done and fulfilled in Christ will remain. And that's what we see in verse 27. The Lord is sustaining unshakable things in Christ Jesus. Verse 27 tells us the things. Verse 27 gives us an interpretation of Haggai chapter 2. The words "yet once more" indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken. Even at that moment, the Holy Spirit was speaking as a present tense speaker through the writer of this letter. Things were being shaken at that moment. What was being shaken? Well, I mentioned to you that the temple, or the veil in the temple, was torn in two. How that must have shaken those who go into that temple. To see it torn in two from top to bottom. How it must have shaken those Jews to see this same Jesus whom they crucified was raised from the dead, because it was not only Jesus' friends who saw Him. The Jews saw Him. The Jews saw the empty tomb. So much so that they had to fabricate a lie as to how this tomb became empty. Things were being shaken. The Old Testament ceremonies and the sacrifices were being shaken. And it wouldn't be but another 30-some more years before the whole temple would be torn down after Jesus' resurrection. These things were being shaken as things made. God in Christ was ushering in a new covenant in Christ's blood that was speaking to and shaking the Jews and the Gentiles, heaven and earth. It was only what God was doing in this new covenant with Christ that would remain and be sustained. The Scripture tells us here, those things that can be shaken are being shaken. But those things that cannot be shaken remain. And it was what God had done in Christ that would remain and be sustained forever. These things cannot be shaken. It is the salvation of the Lord through Jesus Christ that would be sustained. The promises of His covenant to save His people from their sins would be sustained. Listen to Isaiah chapter 51, verse 6. The Lord says to those trusting in Him, "Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look on the earth beneath. For the heavens will vanish away like smoke. The earth will grow old like a garment, and those who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will not be abolished. The things of Jesus Christ, the work of Jesus Christ, the promises that come in Jesus Christ will be sustained. All those older things from the old covenant administration, those sacrifices and those ceremonies, they were all meant to point to this thing that would be sustained, and they would be shaken, and they would be removed, and they would be no more. And so while the Spirit of God is pleading to these Hebrew Christians, do not look back there. Look at what will not be shaken. Look at the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of your faith. Look at what God has done in Christ as that which will remain, as that which will be sustained in Christ. Ephesians 1:19-23 reminds us of these words. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe? According to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in heavenly places. That's another thing that cannot be shaken. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion, speaking of these permanent things, and seated Him and made Him higher in every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that age which is to come. This is a permanent thing. The work of Jesus Christ is permanent. The place of Jesus Christ at God's throne is a permanent thing. His power is a permanent thing. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. The work of Jesus Christ is a permanent thing and shall not be removed. Christ has been seated at God's right hand and is over all things permanently. He sustains all things by this power that He has over all things. And He has been made king by the blood of His sacrifice. And all His work is a once and for all work. No more to be repeated. No more offerings of blood. No more sacrifices to be made. So great and so permanent was the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that it has removed all others. And done away with all others. But His is permanent. And God uses it forever for His salvation, the salvation that He provides. Things that can be shaken, like made things, were shaken, are still being shaken. But not Christ. Not His work. Not His death. Not His life. Not the sprinkling of His blood. This is a one-time sacrifice, permanent forever, wherein God's salvation and His righteousness is revealed. And so let your faith be strengthened by Him who speaks through Jesus, who shakes heaven and earth through Jesus, and who sustains His salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. Listen. Do not refuse Him who speaks through Christ's blood. Do not refuse Him. This is the warning. So not to refuse is to accept. To not to refuse is to receive. And so receive this message from Him who speaks through Christ's blood, who has shaken heaven and earth. Receive Him. Receive Him who sustains His salvation and His righteousness through Jesus Christ. Do not refuse, but receive. Let us pray. Holy Father in heaven, how we do thank You that You have made this sacrifice of Christ a permanent one. That You have shaken up heaven and earth through this permanent sacrifice, and You are speaking to us today through His blood that was sprinkled, that was shed for us. Oh, Father, we pray that we as Christians would hear, never turn back to anything that takes us away from Christ. Father, how I do pray that if there is anyone here who has not come to know Christ, that they would not refuse to hear You who speak through Jesus Christ in His shed blood. That they would not refuse Him. They would not refuse You. But they would receive Him and receive You who sent Him.